echte ervaring.
You are listening to That Digital Show, a business podcast presented by Google Cloud to help organizations transform and grow value in our digital world. Episode 50, The Transformation Debrief for Zebra Technologies. In this episode, we examine how a 50-year-old company has spent the last few years transforming from a hardware-centric company to a software solutions organization. Hello, everyone. I'm Chris Hood, a digital strategist at Google Cloud, and I'm excited to share a new series we're kicking off on today's episode. It's called The Transformation Debrief, where we sit down with some of the world's greatest thought leaders, digital executives, and business decision makers to take a look inside the moments when cloud computing changed everything. And of course, hear the lessons they learned along the way. For each episode, there will be a video you can watch, a blog post to read, and of course, our podcast to listen to while you're on the go across your favorite podcast platforms. And you can find these resources right now at cloud.google.com/transform. Let's get into our conversation for today. Zebra Technologies is a 50-year-old company with a legacy in barcode printing and scanning devices. They support manufacturing, retail, healthcare, transportation, logistics, and the public sector with over 10,000 partners across 100 countries. Over the last few years, they have acquired companies in mobile computing, real-time location systems, robotics, AI, all to transform from a traditional hardware-centric company to a software solutions organization. Joining me for this conversation is my co-host, Janet Kennedy. Janet, would you mind sharing a little bit about yourself and your role at Google?
Hi, Chris. I'm thrilled to be your co-host today. As you said, I'm Janet Kennedy. I'm the Vice President for Google Cloud for the North American regions. I've been in tech my entire career. The last 15 years or so, I've been helping customers digitally transform moving into the cloud. Glad to be here.
And our special guest from Zebra Technologies, Tom Bianculli, Chief Technology Officer at Zebra. Tom, would you mind sharing a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Thanks for having me, EX, and to the Google team. It's been a great partnership. So Tom Bianculli, Chief Technology Officer here at Zebra. Our focus really is on advancing technologies that help connect the physical world with the digital world to help our customers transform their customers' experiences. We operate in a B2B kind of mode. So ultimately, the end customer is the consumer for our customers. And additionally, within my organization, we drive our strategy for our product and solutions organization, looking at the vertical market needs and then translating that into the organic and inorganic investments we make to transform the organization and capitalize on all these great opportunities we're seeing.
Thanks, Tom, and welcome again. To start us off, could you share a little bit about some of the initiatives you have going on at Zebra currently?
Yeah, sure, Chris. So as you stated, we've been in business for 50 years. Any company that's been around for that many decades is always transforming. And I think we're always looking at this intersection between what's possible and what's valuable, and trying to close that gap all the time. And I think that's really what transformation is all about. It's about how do you change what you do to deliver the value that your customers rely on you for by really innovating around the art of possible. And that transformation for us was really moving from a device, a tools-oriented company. So think mobile computers and printers and scanning that's used throughout the supply chain to track packages or to administer a medication bedside by a nurse to a patient or to upsell or cross-sell inside of a retailer, and go from that kind of product mentality and mindset to one that's outcome driven. So think about software as a service capabilities we can layer on top of those devices, but also being able to use the millions of devices we have deployed out in the hands of edge workers so that those devices aren't just application platforms, but actually IoT sensors themselves that can instrument workflow and provide a lot of rich data that can help orchestrate what we call the best next actions within workflows in our customers' environments. And that's across all the verticals you mentioned: retail, transportation, logistics, healthcare, the supply chain. They all have a need, more so than ever, to orchestrate those actions in real time.
And during that process, has anything surprised you along the way?
You know, I think one of the things that we've noticed is you can get everybody on board with a vision and with a thesis, but the change management that's required, not just inside of our own organization, but even by our customers, not everybody's in the same place. Pretty straightforward to get everyone to see the same end state, But the arc and the speed and the velocity at which they're going to take to go and do that is certainly something that needs to be actively managed. So what I would say is a surprise is, even in the face of the change we're seeing in the market and the opportunities to explore around these data insights and connecting, as I said earlier, the physical world with the digital world, everyone's at a different place in that journey. And understanding that early and navigating the change management, the stakeholder management, the alignment, I would say is probably 51% of the equation, and the technology and all of the other supporting initiatives around that are the balance, really.
Yeah, Tom, I totally agree. Change management and sometimes people and culture are a big part of the opportunities and challenges we have. But when you think about the transformation you've gone through, have you had a uh-oh moment or a light bulb moment that you had to overcome? Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so it's come in phases. Early on, the uh-oh moment was, you said it, Janet, around culture. The uh-oh moment was fear, doing things differently. So moving from an infrastructure as a service, cloud hosting on some of the early offerings that we had, and looking and saying, hey, how are we going to scale those up? How are we going to get people working on the highest value, most impactful things? How are we going to take contextual elements we're working on and push those to the background and bring the core competencies we want to develop as a company and get everybody's cycles oriented towards that? So we were building a lot of the contextual stuff ourselves that really didn't make sense to do. And shedding those things comes with, you know, some level of fear by those that are doing that work. And, you know, I think the aha moment in that, to answer your question, was really confronting that and confronting it early on and doing some introspection, like, what's causing that fear? Why are you nervous? There's a new frontier. There's plenty to do. There's more to learn. And Google, I think, has been a great partner in bringing our organization along, reskilling even certain individuals in the organization. And we really turned that into an opportunity to say, if you care about learning new things, if you care about bleeding edge technology, if you care about advancing your career, let's go do that together while we tackle this challenge of transformation. And then that translates from going from fear to excitement, and you can really rally a group of people around that and get some amazing things done.
You know, Janet, we talk about aha moments at Google all the time. I'm sure you have some stories. Any aha moments of your own?
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, I've spent, you know, probably the last 15 years in cloud, helping people go through the digital transformation. And in the beginning, it was really lift and shift, maybe move a few servers into infrastructure. But my big aha moment, frankly, was in December 2020. We'd already gone 9 months of COVID. We've all worked at home. 350 million of our kids were being educated on the cloud through Google Classroom. And what I saw suddenly was CEOs, CFOs and CISOs, the top security leaders in organizations, they were like, oh my gosh, we are all working on the cloud. The whole world is working in the cloud. It's working very successfully. So why the heck do I have all these legacy data centers and legacy costs that I have to incur? The aha moment, though, this time it was different. Instead of lift and shift, now they want to move and modernize, because just like Tom was describing, this is about, yes, reducing costs, but it's also about finding new revenue streams and SaaS-based solutions in which somebody else, particularly a great partner like Zebra, can actually bring the solution to market for them, manage it for them, and they can work on their core competency of whatever business they're in. And it was dramatic. I mean, Q4 hit, and you can see the acceleration we've seen in the last 2 years.
Tom, let's talk a little bit about the vision. You've been moving from a hardware business to a software business, and I'm curious to hear more about that journey, maybe around enterprise asset intelligence, or just in general, the vision you have for the organization.
Sure. Yes, you hit on it there, Chris. Enterprise asset intelligence is what we call our vision. And that's when every asset and worker is connected, visible, and fully optimized. And I think Janet hit the nail on the head talking about the move from, you know, lift and shift to really modernizing the underlying the infrastructure. So not just about getting on the cloud, but getting all the benefits that the cloud can provide. And so more and more, frankly, of our mutual customers between Google and Zebra are looking at streaming data. So literally taking the data that may be coming off of a handheld or a point of sale unit or a telemetry device that's in a vehicle and sending that kind of directly up to the cloud in real time. And then using all of that data together to help navigate the workflow, navigate next best moves. And so really that vision is about, you could think about it as it's enabling every worker to be their best selves. At the end of the day, that's really what we're after, is take the technology out of the way, take the confusion out of the way, take decisions even that can be automated and take those out of the way and let people really focus on what they went to school for and what their passion is and what their vocation is. And just very quickly, a nurse, as an example, in a hospital environment is spending upwards of 50% of their time doing things other than caring for patients. Things like documenting or transferring files from one shift to the next. If we can use all the data off of the device that that nurse is using, the IoT infrastructure that's in the room, location information that connects patient wristbands that identifies the patient with the medication, and we can ensure the right patient's getting the right medication the right way at the right time by the right caregiver, and we just document that automatically, we return the time to that worker to really do what they went to school for and what they're passionate about. And at the same time, we can make a significant dent on the third highest cause of death in the country, which is actually medication administration errors. And by being able to do all of this automatically and collect that information, we can ensure those errors don't occur, and we can enable those frontline workers to be their best selves. It's really exciting.
So believe it or not, one of the first customers I worked with after joining Google was Zebra Technologies. And I have a notebook right here with all of the notes that I took from my time in your office. And I have two bullet points that I jotted down during that session, and I wanted to share those with you really quickly. The first one, build a data ecosystem to innovate, transform the business, empower systems of reality. And the second, be able to experience the physical world in new ways to create moments of action. How close are you to those today?
Yeah, I mean, I think those are, thanks for bringing those forward. Those are right at the center point of what we're doing today. And we still use that term. And I think it's actually starting to get some adoption in the industry as well. The notion of moving from a term everybody knows, systems of record. These are, you know, legacy ERP, CRM type systems, a WMS system. They're kind of looking in a rear view way, right? They're telling you what should be happening or maybe what happened in the past. And by the very definition of the name, record indicates it's kind of a historical view. And as Janet touched upon, so many of our customers are saying, what got me here isn't going to get me there, right? I'm not going to innovate around a system of record. I need that, as you pointed out, which looks like you took some great notes from our session, you need a system of reality. I don't want to know what should be happening or what happened in the past. I want to know what's happening now and what to do in the future. So I want to get really descriptive about what's happening and then predictive and prescriptive about what to drive in the workflow. And you know, one of our customers around this notion of digital automation, if you will, or digital decisioning, using all this data to create digital decisions, said to me, this is no longer about return on investment. It's about business continuity. And that's what I wrote down in my notebook, actually, because the idea is that customer just literally cannot run their business of the future without adopting some of these new ways of operating. And that's opportunity for all of us.
That's exciting. You know, I think all three of us, Chris, Tom, and myself, we spend our lives in tech and some kind of technology, and we've seen a lot of technology come and go. You've already mentioned going from a hardware to a SaaS-based company. But can you think of one particular tech paradigm shift that happened to you and how that caused you to think differently as you came into Zebra?
Yeah, sure. It's not so much a software example, but it's translatable. It's that idea of, I was mentioning earlier, around the culture, the change management transformation. It is a set of lessons I took away from the one I'll share with you over into some of these new domains. And it was really around the move from laser-based barcode reading to cameras. And so this was the late 90s. And I know it's hard to believe, but digital cameras were not so native back at that time. And so the idea of using a solid-state sensor, much like we all have in our phones today, to be able to read a barcode was not just novel. It wasn't deployed at all. It was all laser-based technology. And we were really founded by a technologist that got their PhD actually in laser physics. So you can imagine the tie back to that technology and sort of this idea of, wow, are we really going to go to a different technology to deliver that value? And this is what I mentioned earlier. We've never stopped looking at that what's valuable and what's possible equation. As what's possible changes, we want to be intersecting that what's possible to deliver that new value. When we made that jump, actually, I spent a year in Japan working at Olympus Optical Company. And at the end of that year, we launched our first digital camera-based barcode reader. And now it's actually the majority of our barcode reading sales carried on by that business unit. So really never want to stop looking at that intersection between valuable and possible. The last thing I'll say about it, Janet, is the smaller you can make that gap between what's valuable and what's possible, the less of a transformation you'll be in store for. And I think that's something to really think about because it makes the lift easier. If you let too much time go by and you get stuck in the way you deliver value and what's possible starts to branch way away from you, that transformation lift's going to get heavy. And, you know, it may get so heavy that it's not surmountable. You only need to look at the S&P 500 over the last 10 years to see what happens when you don't pay attention to that.
Exactly. I love that. What's valuable, what's possible. It's kind of very aligned to Google in terms of 10X thinking. So I'm thrilled that we have this innovation partnership together.
You know, also from that perspective of transformation is value. It's the key. Otherwise, why would we be doing it? From your perspective, how do you think this transformation initiative that you're going through at Zebra is ultimately going to impact the business?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Chris, because much like Google, our focus is less on ourselves and more on our customers. And, you know, we really believe the rest will follow. So it's interesting that the heart of your question exactly that way, we think about it more as how's it going to serve our customers? And if I kind of come around it from that direction, I would say the on-demand economy, the notion that we all as consumers want to get things delivered faster, infinite selection delivered in zero time, right? This notion of the production and provision of products and services ever closer to the point of demand. And so I know I need it, I can get it fulfilled, whether that's a service, it's a product, that's what our customers are dealing with. If you think about the transportation carriers, the public carriers, if you think about retailers and having to deliver on e-commerce and fulfill from store, all of that is really about being able to deliver in the moment. And so all of the solutions we've invested in, if you think about it, automation, using automation to assist workers in picking in a warehouse, or machine vision that can detect anomalies or defects on an assembly line in an automotive plant, as an example, or all the SaaS offerings we have that augment workflow with task management, labor scheduling, that help to position inventory across a consumer product good or a retail network. Those are all aimed at enabling our customers to deliver on their transformation initiatives. So we saw it as a very straightforward thing, a very obvious thing to go and do. Obviously, making it happen has its challenges, which we're talking about some of those here. But that's how we see it transforming the value for our customers and then ultimately for us. And, you know, I should mention we've seen our SaaS revenues through acquisition, certainly a big part of it, also through the partnership with Google. But those have grown 6 to 7 times over the last 3 years, about three and a half years. So a pretty big jump there and actually representing a measurable percentage of our overall revenue, which is exciting to talk with investors and with our customers about as well.
So Tom, since you mentioned it, Zebra has acquired 4 different major acquisitions in the last few years. Did you acquire technology? Did you acquire talents? And then a follow-on question, you know, how difficult is it to take 4 different disparate companies and integrate them into your overall vision for your clients?
Yeah, great questions, Janet. So it's been a little bit of both. In some cases, we really look to focus on acquiring talent. So our Cortexica acquisition, as an example, in 2019, which is a London-based computer vision company, was very much focused on bringing AI, ML, world-class leadership in that area around, specifically applied to computer vision, into Zebra. And you saw us follow on last year, actually, with the launch of our machine vision offering and then the intent to acquire Matrox. Yeah, maybe some of these small acquisitions where we're acquiring talent are leading edge indicators of where we're going to go in broader ways. And then in other cases, yeah, it's been, you know, full on acquire a business like a Reflexis, which is the number one provider in task management, labor scheduling, and retail, to be able to add that SaaS layer, software layer, to augment and automate workflows on top of our mobile computing devices. And to answer the third part of your question around what's the challenge like to bring all those pieces together, the number one, and it's interesting how we keep coming back to this, but I would say the number one driver there has really been around focusing on culture. Internally, we talk about there's only 3 reasons why acquisitions don't go well, right? One is you get the strategic thesis wrong. That could be one reason. The second could be you pay too much. And the third one is culture. And I think in all of these cases, strategic thesis has been dead on. Negotiation teams and corporate strategy have done a great job making sure we've gotten fair value for the acquisitions we've participated in. And so it really leaves culture as the biggest risk. And so we've spent a lot of time. This goes right up to our executive team and our CEO, Anders, who's very focused on culture. We all go through cultural training, understanding what we mean by language, understanding how to create space for everybody's opinions, and being able to create opportunity for those new people coming into the organization to take on bigger roles. And that's been something actually I've referred to as reverse integration. So rather than thinking about just integrating the acquired company into Zebra, I talk with those companies very often about what should Zebra be integrating to you? And so we're partners in that acquisition as opposed to there's a buyer and there's a seller. And I think that makes a really big difference.
Tom, I think you mentioned it. Transformation doesn't have an ending point. I was in your office probably 4 years ago now, And I know you started your transformation probably before that. And I'm looking at, what does the future look like? What's next? And do you think you have any roadblocks?
Yeah, great question. I think, you know, what you started off with is certainly true, is that transformation never really stops. You know, if I think about the early days and first year or so of that transformation, it was really around an awareness. Is there really even a change that's needed? Is transformation even the right word, that, you know, getting people aligned to that level of agreement and kind of moving it forward? And I think, you know, obviously we're way past that. We're seeing the fruits of the early days of that transformation, or I said, you know, probably mid innings of that transformation. But I think ultimately, when you look at where we want to take things, it's got to be about, once again, helping that frontline worker be the best person they can be and offloading all of the distractions. And there's a lot of work to do to get to that level. And I think we're in the early innings, really, of just being able to digitize the workflows, be able to collect the data, use that data maybe to point to where there are opportunities and mobilize those as actions, you know, down to those frontline workers. Ultimately, we got to bring automation into that in a way that automates repetitive work that's assistive to that frontline worker. We've got to bring more digital decisioning capability in. And I think, you know, figuring out the frontier we're at kind of now is figuring out this kind of edge versus cloud hybrid deployment. How do we design for the cloud but deploy anywhere? How do we make that deployment as frictionless as possible? Other challenges around integration, I think, is definitely a big one. Right behind change management is all these source systems you need to integrate into in order to aggregate the data together to get a composite view is, you know, real lifting. Transformation or translation of the data, integration into those various systems. So being able to hit the easy button, if you will, on all of those different areas is going to be the thing that gets our velocity way up. This isn't about transformation for our customers. It's about implementation. De-friction transformation is fast implementation. That's basically where we want to get to. And I think those are going to be a lot of the challenges, but I like to look at them as opportunities going forward.
Gosh, Tom, now I have a second phrase I have to memorize. De-frictionless transformation is optimal migration. Rapid implementation. I love that one. Yeah. Well, I got to call out, Nucleus Research just named Zebra the leader in workforce management. So congratulations on that honor. I just love to hear, you know, how did cloud help you shape that strategy, particularly as you're thinking about what you're going to do in the future for frontline worker or the supply chain initiatives you're working on?
Yeah, no, well, thanks very much for the acknowledgement. Spoke a little bit earlier around, you highlighted it, Janet, is in the midst of a pandemic, we managed to still deploy these solutions. In fact, a bit of a moment for many of us and our executive team at Zebra when we watched deployments of these cloud-based, like a workforce management that Nucleus recognized us for, being deployed with nobody on site, all over Zoom, phone calls. So everything from being able to demo to the customer, book the deal, and revenue the deal through deployment in a completely touchless cloud deployed way is obviously some native for Google for sure, but not something that a hardware company, a product company was able to enjoy in the past. And so I think that really amplified that point and made it clear what we can do with some of these capabilities.
Also in the time of pandemic, really impactful to, you know, not only the frontline worker, but the consumers who are really taking advantage of what you were delivering to us. So thank you for that.
Another area that we are challenged with right now is the supply chain. How is Zebra working in that space?
Yeah, so a couple of things. Maybe just very quickly come at it from two perspectives. One is, first off, transportation logistics overall is our second largest vertical behind retail. And classically, we've been helping with track and trace through that supply chain. May not be too well known, but we monitor the temperature, for instance, of the COVID vaccine using a special tag that goes on every one of the shipments for that vaccine that's monitoring the temperature excursions it's exposed to as it moves through the supply chain. And if it's exposed to a temperature profile that impacts its efficacy, we can intercept that and prevent that from having a negative outcome. That's an example of using what we call our temp time portfolio to manage or log temperature profile environmental conditions as packages move through the supply chain. So what we really like to say is it's about what is it, where is it, and how is it? So identifying those parcels and assets that are moving through the supply chain, that's the what is it. The where is it is exactly that. What's its location? Where is it located? Is it on the truck? Is it off the truck? Is it moving to the distribution center, the warehouse, out to end destination? And then condition is what's the state of it? How is it doing? that's very much along the lines of the example I gave on tracking the temperature for the COVID vaccine. So it could be expiry oriented. It could be environmental condition on perishables, whether those are biopharmaceuticals or it's food, as an example, produce that can perish. And by monitoring that, we can create those better outcomes of reducing waste, for example, in a food scenario, or ensuring the efficacy of a medication in the case of the vaccine. So that's what we have today. Where we're going is kind of the cloud-enabled version of that. So just use your imagination. What if that tag that's on the package of produce or biopharmaceutical was not just discreetly readable at the point of delivery as to whether it's in temperature profile or out, but what if it was streaming that temperature data back live to the cloud? Mm-hmm. And what if at the same time we were streaming back the location of that asset? So we knew its condition and its identification, and its location, and we knew all of that in real time. And we don't know it just say for that package or parcel, but we know it for the container that that package is in. And a container might be a truck, right? And when that truck gets to the doctor or the warehouse, the warehouse is an even bigger container. So if we can track that through all of those containerized, to use a cloud example in a physical way, all those containerized transit points, we can orchestrate that supply chain much, much more efficiently. So we can look upstream and say, hey, weather is going to cause a late arrival for a vehicle. Let's reroute another capital asset that we know exactly where that is to another place. And in so doing, reduce idle time, ensure that the network, that transportation network, is optimized from end to end. So that's really where we want to take things. And we think we've got a great start with what we're already delivering, plus the cloud transformation we're on to go realize that future.
Fantastic. You know, I think about our two companies, we're both very data driven. At Google, we use OKRs. I think you guys might use KPIs, but you mentioned earlier that this transformation is ongoing. It's never going to end. What KPIs do you use to track and measure where you are in this transformation?
Sure. So thanks, Janet. There's a couple of ways we do that. And I'm a big fan of the OKR book. A couple of different ways we do that in terms of measurements. One is something we call our Enterprise Asset Intelligence Index. So this is a basket of solutions in the company that make up a set of solutions that deliver on that enterprise asset intelligence value, you know, connected, visible, and fully optimized. And we track that index on a quarterly basis. We don't publicly share what that revenue profile is, but it is something we track internally and measure everything from our sellers to our engineering teams to go optimize. The second area is around a lot of the classical sort of development measurements that you might imagine. So release cadence, release cycle, test automation, ensuring first-time release success, going from semi-annual release cadence to monthly, to weekly, and down to daily, and getting kind of all of the behaviors, the ways of operating, the mechanics of operating that allow us to do that in a world-class way. And we're not where we want to be yet, and we're certainly not consistent in the way we do that across the whole organization. We definitely have some really great shining examples. And, you know, one thing Zebra does really well is really systematize processes and areas that we get to work. We're able to scale those up across the org. So we've got a number of teams working on taking the best of, if you will, and bringing that across the rest of the organization. And I have to thank you, Janet, and the Google team for being a key partner in doing that. We just wouldn't be where we are without that partnership. So thanks for that.
I know we're coming to the end of our time, but I wanted to present a series of rapid fire questions to you. And then afterwards, we're going to give you a chance to ask any burning questions you might have. Okay, here we go. First one, what business problems keep you up at night?
You know, so one of the one business areas or challenges that we talk about is, are we moving fast enough? We're always asking ourselves that question. If what's happening outside our company is moving faster than what's happening inside, then we're falling behind. So move fast would be my number one.
How has the cloud changed your art of the possible at Zebra?
Yeah, so what it's really allowed us to do is credibly deliver on the vision, because delivering on enterprise asset intelligence without being able to aggregate and operate on data is really not believable. So connecting the cloud to our product portfolio to deliver on that vision is a requirement.
And the final one, what future technology trends are you most interested in for your industry?
One area that we're really excited about is the overall application of artificial intelligence to deliver value in entirely new ways. So it's kind of the same use cases, but entirely new value that transforms experiences. So an example would be, think about going from reading a barcode to recognizing a product and what that could do to the checkout line in retail, as an example. Streamline it, reduce loss and shrink for retailers would be one example. Conversational AI, so natural language processing, and the types of capabilities that Google has around dialogue flow. Think about workflows. You want to have your hands free. You want to have your eyes up, your head forward, and be able to get your job done, whether that's delivering a package, administering medication, helping somebody in the aisle at retail. And so being able to use natural language processing to do that would be another example. There's lots of others in sensor and orchestration AI. So we really see this opportunity to take what are existing use cases, known markets, and just up-level the transformed experience we can create through artificial intelligence.
One of the other things we like to do on the Transformation Debrief is give our guests the opportunity to ask Google a question. So what question do you have for us?
You know, so I'm always asking the Google account team to keep Zebra honest. What is Google seeing out there? What are we not doing well? Challenge us and understand critically where, with constructive criticisms, where can we go and get better? And so my question really is, what are you seeing out there as Google with all the customers that you work with across financial, tech industries, healthcare, I mean, you name it, Google's participating in every one of these. That is just the best example of being able to drive these transformations effectively. What's really driven the underlying success? What separates the winners from those that maybe don't quite get there?
First of all, I think what customers want is always on, always connected, always updated for them. And frankly, there's a sustainability component, which is super important at the board level today that you're offering that to them through the cloud. I think the second one is culture, which you just mentioned. The hardest part, there's so much M&A, there's so much startups and activity going on. But I think when you have acquisitions, if you can nail the culture piece, which we talked about earlier, that's where you see the difference of just an average acquisition versus a, you know, widely successful one. And then from a technology perspective, I think you nailed it on the future of the AI use cases that we can use. What I personally get excited about is, you know, this next level, which might be quantum, you know, the next level of chip computing power that can bring into ideals that we've never imagined before, and we can bring them to the edge. So think, if you think about this new power, this new AI solutions, and we're delivering at the edge where people actually live and work and play every day, I'm excited about that and super excited to be partnering with you because I think you guys are doing just that.
That's awesome, Janet. Yeah, no, thanks for that feedback. And I love the quantum reference. You know, every time I talk to our AI engineers, and this may be music to Google's ears, but they're always saying, hey, how do we get more GPU power? At the end of the day, we've got to get that for so many of these use cases, that GPU power down on the edge. It's great in the cloud and it has lots of application in the cloud, but for so many autonomously oriented use cases is going to be key. And, you know, that could get 10 times better. It could get 100 times better. And we'll still figure out how to consume it. That's one thing that stayed a constant throughout technological evolution is no matter how big the vessel is, whether it's processing power or it's memory.
Or the network. The network matters, right?
Network, exactly. The network speed. We'll figure out ways to consume it.
Totally agree. Chris?
Yeah, I'll just add one more. And you've already touched on it. It's about generating business value by focusing on your customer. It's not about transforming just for the sake of transforming. New experiences, a new way of engaging with you, or any number of things that help improve customers' lives. All of this is about focusing on the customer first. It's the foundation for what you are transforming for. You know, we talk about digital transformation all the time, and sometimes it's overused. Another way we could look at this is customer transformation, or your ability to transform as your customers' needs and expectations transform. This will ultimately bring you the increased business value you're looking for.
Great feedback, great observation. Yeah, I think the transformation being in service of an outcome as opposed to transformation being the outcome itself. Great point.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Janet. If you want to hear more about Zebra's transformation journey, visit cloud.google.com/transform. Otherwise, subscribe to That Digital Show on your favorite podcast platform and be notified when we have a new episode. If you have comments or ideas for the show, you can connect with us throughout social media and join us again for another transformation story on That Digital Show. Thanks for listening.